White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. How you doing? Vinny White with you for the next hour on the almighty News Talk 1010, the best radio station in the world. Can't say it's a statement, but I can say it's a question. One that I know the answer to. Yes. How are you? You all right? You're all right. What do you need to know? I'm on for an hour. My name's Vinny. That's the important bit. Twitter, if you like it. Vinny White. Facebook, if you want it. Vinny White. Call the show. 416-872-1010. About pretty much anything that you feel the need to interject on. You can star talk the show. I think that means call it on your cell phone. Yeah, star talk 8255. Don't really understand that. There you go. 877-518-5151. That's the free phone number. Get a plan. And you can text the show on 71010. All right? A bit awkward because I need a pee. I knew I should have gone before. It's not a great opener, is it? I've got a cup. But it's not, you know, it's not Howard Stern, is it? I'll just try and hold it. Keep you informed as the show progresses. Because I know that there's a lot of pressing news in the world. Like, I don't know, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, Jordan, Ukraine, Democratic Republic of Congo. But do I need a pee? Yes. So, priorities. Let's get the ducks in a row. What are we talking about this show? What I've done this week, I was in Ottawa teaching software and I saw a bear. Is that normal? Didn't feel it. What happened to me last night at the Drake Hotel? I was violated. Mm-hmm. Disgusting. By a beautiful woman. How could that be? Oh, I'll explain. I'll explain, all right. And probably some other stuff. I don't know. Let's wing it. Hey, let's fly by the seat of our pants before they're stained with urine. Sorry. Too much information. So let's begin with this. I walked to work and I saw Al Pacino on the way. I've never said that before. Never said that before, but it happened. I mean, I did make a wee bit of a detour down King Street. We're very close to all the TIFF action. They've closed off King Street and all outside the TIFF light boxes. Lots of sexy people. Few losers with pads. It is a loser's game, isn't it? Getting autographs, really? They travel around the world doing it. And I'm sure you make money out of it. You know what else you make money off? Going to work, just get a job. It's a loser's game. And you know, that's one of my favourite things is, well, because the celebrities can't possibly say, oh, for God's sake, it's that dweeb. I saw him in California. Oh, come here, I'll sign it. They have to go, oh, it's awesome you're here. Thanks for your support. It's awesome. Because they're Keanu Reeves. And they do that, but they must be thinking inside, oh, piss off. For goodness sake. You're only going to sell it on eBay. Because they're doing, they make a fortune. If you can get it, but they're forever. The ratio of happiness to anxiety and boredom is not worth it as a sport. It's like surfing. A lot of time messing around. Very rarely on the board. Forget it. Snowboarding. I like it. Right? Think of that as autograph hunting. What are you going to get? 2 seconds in a day when someone actually acknowledges you. And you know what? They still poo. They're only human. And if it's Tom Cruise, they're nuts. Do you really want his signature? Bonkers. Burn it. But they were there. And I saw Al Pacino, which was good. Didn't expect it. And I must have said, having just said all of that, I was a bit starstruck, actually. Because it's weird. You know, everyone's like, Al, Al. And I was like, thank you very much. Just about to start on News Talk 10. They're not calling for me. Oh. But there he was, walking down the road. He is a legend, isn't he? He's promoting a new movie. I think it's called Manglehorn. All he has to do to promote a movie is go, I got a movie. It's Manglehorn. You're going to love it. If you don't, I'll blow your face off. Or something along that line. Actually, we should get some audio of him because I do him no justice. And what I really like is him opposite the world's worst actor, Keanu Reeves. What were they thinking in casting for the Devil's Advocate? What have we got then? Well, we're going to use Pacino for the devil. Love it. All right, who's the lead? Reeves. What, the bloke from Bill and Ted's? Yeah, is that all right? Well, light and dark. If I saw Keanu in the street, I'd say, Keanu, you're rubbish. I don't think he'd care. And his bank manager certainly wouldn't. But he is terrible, isn't he? He's not awesome. Really awesome. Let's hear, can you grab a bit of Pacino and Keanu together?
He's an absentee landlord. Worship that, never.
Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, is that it?
Why not? I'm here on the ground with my nose in it since the whole thing began. I've nurtured every sensation man has been inspired to have. I cared about what he wanted, and I never judged him. Why? Because I never rejected him, in spite of all his imperfections. I'm a fan of man! I'm a humanist. Maybe the last humanist. Who, in their right mind, Kevin, could possibly deny the 20th century was entirely mine? All of it, Kevin! All of it!
Dude. That's most excellent. But there he was, Pacino was walking down the road. There's lots of sexy people around. If you're interested, I'll be finishing work about 10 in the Much Music building and going to look at them. Hey! See what I did? Yeah. It's weird, though, looking at the pictures on the red carpet this year, I'd say most of the film stars look younger than last year. And some of them look like they've been, let's just say they look like they've been flying in a plane without a windscreen. You know what I'm saying? Slap it back, pin it behind. They're getting younger every year. I haven't got any other TIFF stuff, that'll do. Right, next. I was in Ottawa this week, teaching software, a government client. I've got a, can I promote my company? I think I will, so here we go. Do you need training to use software in Adobe? Then why not use... What's my website? I've forgotten it. That's it. AdobeTrainingToronto.com. AdobeTrainingToronto.com. Yeah, that's what I teach software to people. I know. It's terrible, isn't it? Obviously, I should really promote myself. I'm really good at it. I was about to say I'm terrible, and then I realised it wouldn't be a very good advert. No, I am good at it. I am quite good at it. I've been doing it for years. When I'm not on the radio, I teach people how to do this stuff. And, so I have to go to Ottawa every now and then and teach government clients. And I was teaching a woman how to use Adobe Photoshop and another program called InDesign, which is like Word, but not crap. You know, no irritating paperclip to upset you halfway through. And it was all right. Like, there's not a lot to tell you about being there, to be honest. You know, government job. The hours. 8:30 till 3, an hour for lunch. As many breaks as I like. On day 3, she wasn't even there. Fantastic. Got paid 2 months ago. Doesn't matter to me. Thanks, taxpayers. Oh, there's some right-wingers listening to this thinking, right, first of all, we've got an immigrant on the radio taking our jobs. Now, he's getting paid with taxpayers' money at a silly rate. It's not my fault that the hours were so easy. I said I'll teach loads of hours. But the government, I tell you what, in Ottawa, if ever you want an easy life, get yourself to Ottawa. It's unbelievable. I lived there for 6 years. Trust me on this. It's just, you know, like people that work for the government here and how they don't do that much work? Well, check out the federal government, baby. It is cruisy. There's a park in the middle of Ottawa, bigger than Central Park. I don't know why they need that. There's greenbelt all the way around it. There's a river that's untouched and a couple of canals. A couple of rivers, sorry. Enough green space to occupy, I don't know. It's like Siberia, to be honest. And you can... There's no litter anywhere. It's all paid for by the National Capital Commission, most of it. Federal money, thanks very much. So it looks great. There's almost zero crime, loads of police. And you work no hours and get some of the best money in the country. Ka-ching. Oh, and by the way, unless you take a dump on your boss's desk, you ain't going to get fired. Actually, I think you could get around the dump if you said you're having a mental health crisis. They'd probably just put you on a course of laxatives. There you go. It's unbelievable. It was a nice week, though, and I like Ottawa. I say all this in jest because I do actually like it. I lived there for many years, and I love going cycling in the Gatineau parks because I know I sound like I'm sort of obsessed with going out and drinking booze and being Mr. Socialite. But actually, sometimes I like getting away on a bike. And I was riding through the woods on the weekend. That's why I wasn't here last week, by the way. I'm sure you missed me desperately. I was riding through the woods and I saw a bear. And I tell you what, it was nearly me that went in the woods, if you know what I'm saying. You know? Because I did not expect that. And I was riding along. It's Gatineau Park, which is on the Quebec side, but it's, you know, only just outside Ottawa. It was technically Ottawa, whatever. Bear didn't care. Didn't even have a passport. He was just knocking around, minding his own business. He was actually scratching his bum on a tree. I didn't know they did that. Very effective. You know, like, I think it happens in the Charmin, other brands are available, advert. Well, that happened. Whoever came up with that ad must have been walking through Quebec woods and thought, oh, we could use that. Why don't we put a toilet roll on on the tree and he can help himself to that? Well, why don't we use a man? Because it's disgusting. Let's use bears. Bears. Andrex have already got the dogs. Let's use bears. So that happened. And I had one of the most painful, awkward conversations ever. You know when you just think, oh my God, there's a bear? If you don't know what it's like this. Ah, there's a bear! It's genuinely like that. It was only a baby, but I'm also equally a baby. So I wasn't very particularly inspired to hang around. And I've never ridden that hard before. I tell you what, put that gear down. And I gave it the welly on my bicycle. But I wanted to, there was a guy that was sort of in just in front of me. So I said to him, did you see that bear? And he said, quoi? And I thought, oh, it's Quebec. Awkward. Now, my French is appalling, and I don't know any animals apart from a seal. And do you know what a seal is in French? Let's put it this way. It's naughty, and I can't say it on the radio, unless I put it in context with another French sentence, and being that I can't speak French. You know what I'm saying? Look it up. It's funny if you're six. And so there was a bear, and I say to the guy next to me, did you see that bear? He says, quoi? I say, did you see the bear? He says, quoi? I said, it's awkward. I said, don't worry about it. He said, no, what? What did you say? Because now he's in English, because everyone's bilingual in Ottawa, because I work for the government, and you have to be. So now he says, what is it you say? I can't do the Quebec accent, but I can do French. I know. I don't know why. I can only do this one. And if I try to do the Quebec one, it is actually even more offensive than this, which is already quite offensive. It's all right. We've got hundreds of years of problems with them. I'm not going to make any difference. Don't worry about it. And by the way, I say them. I'm talking about the English versus the French. Let's be very clear about that. Look it up. It's been a nightmare. They don't like us. Do you know they call us roast beefs? They do. The French in France call us roast beefs. And if you go into England, they say, well, why you go to the roast beef country? Yeah. And they say we're racist. They started it. Anyway, no, I like the French. I like all people. Let's make that clear. But I said to him, I'm dragging this story out. Bloody hell. It's a good job this isn't live. I said to him, right. I said, did you see the bear? By the way, the bear has long gone. He's probably in another wood by now. And I, so now, you know when you've said something, it's now the fifth time I've said it. I said, don't worry about it. And he said, where was it? So you did hear me then, didn't you? It was that way. It's gone now. And then I felt like a liar. I felt like I said, get off your bike and I'll come and walk you through. He was right there scratching his bum. So that's that. When we come back, I talk about being violated in the Drake Hotel. It happened last night from a beautiful woman, but it wasn't a good thing. We also talk about words we need in English and a dog that ate socks. It's, you know, you don't want to get too hairy on a Sunday night. There's no point. When I do the fill-in for Jim Richards, I'll try and be a bit serious. I can't be arsed. Not here. It's not worth it. Not when there's a dog that ate socks. How? That is gold. Right? Forget everything else. Tiff, Schmiff, dog and socks. 40 of them. Yeah. So we'll come back with that in a minute. Right here on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yes, you are. You can download podcasts of this show at vinniewhite.co.uk, vinniewhite.co.uk. Just do a bit of Googling if you so feel the need. I'm on through till 10 o'clock. This is News Talk 1010. You can follow me on Twitter at Vinnie White, or you can find me on Facebook, Vinnie White. All right. Good. I want to ask you a question. Who have you seen? I saw Al Pacino today. And I felt really pleased with myself. And then Pei Chen said, oh, yeah, I've seen him too. Okay. Who have you seen from TIFF? Or from anywhere else? I mean, maybe someone else sexy's in town. I think Brad Pitt's here. You seen him? 416-872-1010. Who have you seen? And what did you do? You can text the show on 71010 as well. I had a weird dream that I met Brad Pitt and we became friends. It was the weirdest thing. You know when you wake up in the middle of the night needing a pee and you think, that's the first thing on your mind. And then it's taking you, by the time you get to the toilet, to think, am I friends with Brad Pitt? Where did I get that? That must have been a dream. Unless Brad Pitt's in my house. He is in town. But I don't remember taking him home. I'm not of a homosexual persuasion. If I was, I probably would. He's the very much the go-to, isn't he, for sexy men, him and Clooney. Getting a bit old now, though, aren't they? I have to reformat that. So I had a dream. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? That's my claim to fame from TIFF. I dreamt I met Brad Pitt. Who did you dream you met? 416-872-1010, or you can text the show on 71010. Right, I went to the Drake Hotel last night. The Drake Hotel is a fine establishment. I like it. It's a little bit, I don't know. Is it wrong that they charge to get in? They can. I would. It's all right. But I paid a few bucks to get in. I went upstairs to the roof bar where, if you've never been, it's quite a lot of sexy people. And I was there. And I was just sort of chatting to a few people. So I was waiting for a friend of mine who, by the way, never showed up because he showed up so late, he got stuck in the lineup and gave up. So I actually spent the entire evening on my own, which is really rock and roll, isn't it? But the man attempt to make communication with random strangers, I got talking to quite a few people. One of the benefits of having an accent is a bit of a conversation piece. It's also one of the negatives as well. Oh my God, are you Australian? Really? You're not? You're like Australian? Oh my God, you've even got light blonde hair. How can you not be? Because I spend a lot of time in California. And so I was there last night and I got chatting to some people. And, what? Oh, sorry, the first texts are coming in. It was confusing me. I'm very easily distracted. Oh, there's a squirrel. What was I talking about? I've completely forgotten.
The Drake Hotel.
Thank you. Someone's got their eye on the ball. Oh dear. They said when I got prescribed with attention deficit disorder that radio would be fine. Coming up, dunno. Anyway, I was in the Drake Hotel and I got chatting to some people. There's a very sexy, attractive woman who was married, so there was no chance of that naughty business going on. But I was enjoying her company immensely. And I also actually genuinely enjoyed the fella. And she said, are you from London? And I said, yes. And she violated me. She forced me into a high five. She used her left hand to pick my hand up, put it up in the air. I'm thinking, what am I doing? And then when it's up, she brings in the other hand, high-fived, violated. What is that? When did that become okay? I got hand raped. It's not right. I don't like high-fiving. I'm not a high-fiver. I'm English. We don't even know what it means. We spent our entire life in a grey misery. The last thing we need is your relentless optimism. Don't high-five me. For goodness sake, it's ridiculous. And I felt violated. So I said to her, I sort of made a joke of it. I said, I feel violated. She did it again! Other hand! Double hand rape! It's not fair. So this is a public service announcement. I would like to say, if you know anyone English, please don't high-five them. Okay? It's not what we do. I've been here for 7 years. I'm clearly not changing. Right? North America is a positive place. Optimism is rife. And people are upbeat. High fives are a natural evolution. I understand it. You go your way, we're going ours. England, by comparison, is grey. The only way we cope with the greyness is to drink lots and then we fight over a curry. It's how we work. It's not Downton Abbey. Don't believe all that. We get drunk, we fight, we go home. We can't possibly explain our emotions to anyone. We don't see a shrink. We cry in the corner. We pull our socks up. We get back on it. And then we get in another fight. The relentless loop of dire straits goes on and on under a painfully grey sky. And if you've ever seen any of Coronation Street when they're having an argument in the pub, that's our life. Not the Downton Abbey fancy business, right? I don't want a high five. Don't you dare pick up my hand. I want to be miserable. Have you heard this show? Right. What do you want? Candy floss? Or whatever you call it? Forget it. I want to be miserable. And yes, we are exporting being mean. Deal with it. It's one of our only exports now. The empire's collapsed. Even Scotland's leaving us. Maybe. What do you want? You walked out in 1867. You make me sick for that. We had a handle on this place. It was all working. You've buggered off. And you give us a high five. That's rubbing it in. So we're exporting misery and drudgery. And if you don't believe me, here's the evidence.
It sounded like 2 3-year-olds who've got flu trying to sing.
I didn't find it funny, and I like to laugh, and that wasn't funny to me.
I don't know what that style was. It started off like bad food poisoning.
Without any doubt, the worst act I've probably ever seen.
You may want to be smart and start acting like an arrogant. Your mashed potatoes are bland.
Unlike English food, which is world renowned for being exceptional and definitely not bland. And that is the audacity of the Brits. So don't high five me. All right. Honestly, it was ridiculous. And then afterwards, like, she kept doing it because she was drunk. And to be honest, I started enjoying it because it was, she's attractive. She showed me attention. I'm a simple man. And then I said, I'll tell you what, you like Pepe Le Pew. Because she was like, you know, she's like a female version. Kept being very adorous in front of her husband, which was a bit weird. But yeah, I said, I ended up in the evening, I called her Pepe. Pepe the hand rapist, that she became. But it made me think, actually. Pepe Le Pew, he wouldn't exist now, would he? I don't think he's right. Surely he'd have a restraining order.
I have waited for you. I remove them from you, the bonds of slavery. Viola! Just to think, radiant flower, you do not have to come with me to the Casbah. We are already here. And so, mon chéri, we can do away with the dull preliminaries and make love right away. We can spend the rest of our lives making love. We shall flee.
He says all that while fondling her. Hmm? What's that? What kind of example is that for the kids? Plus, as French stereotypes go, I know I was a bit offensive to the French earlier, doing a pathetic attempt at their accent, but is that wrong? Is it a bit wrong to say, to paint that picture now? I mean, don't get me wrong. I know they like a bit of nookie. We've always seen those lovely Parisian films. I know they like a bit of the old, how's your father? Slapping a tickle, horizontal jogging, whatever you want to call it. But come on, you can't do that, can you? I don't think if they brought out Pepe Le Pew now, it would be politically correct. I've got an idea for a cartoon character. Oh, yeah. What is it? It's a skunk that attempts to hump a cat that looks a bit like a skunk. Good concept. How many episodes are we going to do? Probably drag it out for a few years. Right. Right. I haven't done anything remotely serious. Let me know who you've seen. 416 872 1010. Lots of texts on this. 71010. I've seen Tina Fey, says someone. Al Pacino greeted me outside a news conference and signed my... Hasn't finished. I'm going to presume it was autograph book. Don't know. Well, maybe it was... I don't think, because people do the weirdest things. Could be anything. What does that mean? I've seen Floyd. Who's Floyd? Who's that, Elliot? Someone's just texted, I've seen Floyd. Who?
I'm not sure, actually. I don't know any Floyd.
Pink Floyd.
Oh, Pink Floyd.
There is a
movie about a Pink Floyd, Roger Waters.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for being so cryptic, texter. If you could sort of, I don't know, try and use a whole sentence next time, that'd be lovely. Honestly, you can't get the listeners nowadays. You can't get them, honestly. I mean, some blame me. I wouldn't worry about it. We'll get there. Right, when we come back, we'll look at a dog that ate socks. It's just the best story ever. Words we need in English and some other stuff. And you can call in, let me know who you've seen. I'll take probably a couple of calls if I get time. 416 872 1010. You can also phone the show by doing the old Star Talk 8255. Who have you seen? You're listening to News Talk 1010. I'm going for a pee.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good texting. Bert says, in all fairness, Pepe Skunk Cat doesn't actually say no to him. True. Body language, I think, in a court of law would represent the idea that she doesn't seem to be warming to Pepe Le Pew's affections. But you know what? I've got great admiration for someone that keeps trying. To a line, you know. It's probably a legal one. I don't know if this is how disinterested Toronto is in TIFF, but we've had more texts about Pepe Le Pew being inappropriate as a cartoon character than TIFF. I remember last year I did the show at TIFF about TIFF, and no one was interested. I guess the thing is, if you like TIFF, you're probably at TIFF. That's what I'd never actually thought of it until this point right now. I'll try and remember that next year. A few people. Apparently everyone's met Al Pacino. Thanks for making me feel special. He's the most common. I just met Al Pacino. I rubbed up against Al Pacino. Don't know if that's a good thing. Al Pacino came round my house. All right, now you're just pushing it. That didn't happen. Al Pacino was on King Street earlier. Yeah, that's where I saw him. Al Pacino. Yeah. What do you got? Other than Al Pacino. Any opportunity, really, to weave that in. That's all I can do. Mansion for sale, only $139 million. Kerching. $139 million mansion for sale. A grand splash on the multiple listing service this week is in Hillsborough Beach, Florida. It's a mansion that is the most expensive home publicly listed for sale anywhere in the United States and Canada. $139 million. What does that get you? Not even finished. Unbelievable. Currently under construction, the palatial estate known as Le Palais Royal draws inspiration from the Palace of Versailles, with gold leafing, stone walkways, balconies and six fountains. Why would you need one fountain when you can have six? Entered through a vaulted foyer, the residence centres on a sweeping $2 million staircase, cased in steel iron and gold leaf. Among the more opulent features are the IMAX home theatre, a 1,300-gallon aquarium, and a subterranean garage with parking for more than 30 vehicles. Ugh! The second floor, presidential suite, comes complete with private outdoor terrace with a plunge pool. I don't know what that is. Is that one of those infinity? Is that infinity pool? Is that Elliot's nodding? Okay, it's a pool. Who cares? It's probably a really nice one. I'd guess. While the additional master suites sport jacuzzis and ocean views. In all, the mansion touts 11 bedrooms. I should bloody hope so for 139 million. It's more than a million. It's more than 10 million a bedroom, is it? Hang on. Who cares? Who cares? Don't even. When you get numbers this high, there's no point doing math. It doesn't mean anything. Sat beneath a 12-foot cascading waterfall, an infinity edge pool. Oh, that's the other pool. Features an LED lit water slide. Oh, for God's sake. Fire pit and swim up bar. Above the waterfall is a jacuzzi. Designed for year-round enjoyment, an outdoor courtyard includes a summer kitchen, a pizza oven, an outdoor lounge, and an entrance to an indoor spa and massage rooms. For the mega yacht, can you see I'm getting more bitter as this goes? I tell you, it's just ridiculous. Let's go back to the sales pitch. For the mega yacht owner, Le Palais Royal boasts a 492-foot dock capable of accommodating seafaring vessels up to 185 feet in length. Occupying 4 acres on Millionaire's Mile, the estate also includes 465 feet of private beachfront and is slated for completion next year. Not even finished. 139 million. I feel like it's a good time to remind you that the richest 1% in the United States now own more wealth than the bottom 90%. I just thought it would be a nice stat to put in right now. It's easy to look at the future owner of this mansion as a lucky man or woman. Probably a man, because they earn more and they love showing off with opulent status symbols. But it's easy to look at the future owner of this mansion as lucky. Actually, also, it can't be a woman because they didn't mention a shoe rack. Same. But whoever owns it, let's presume it's a man. They're not that lucky, honestly, and I genuinely mean this. And it's really, it's in my ripe old age, 37. I have realised, 35 if you're on Tinder, 30 if you met me last night when I was a bit drunk. In my rough age of 30 to 37, depending who you are and how good looking you are, I can tell you that. What can I tell you? Oh, yeah, money doesn't mean anything. I mean, it means something, doesn't it? But not that much. I think it was Herbert Crowley, a US political philosopher, that said, in the long run, men inevitably become victims of their wealth. They adapt their lives and habits to their money, and their money to their lives. It preoccupies their thoughts, creates artificial needs, and draws a curtain between them and the real world. So while this opulence sounds fantastic, I think we should all remember that actually it will bring him or her very little happiness. And actually, I saw a documentary on the guy that owns it currently. Most miserable bastard you've ever heard. He is so miserable. So, it's all very well. So run out and get yourself a lottery ticket. But you know what? You don't need to, because you've got yourself a radio and I don't know what else you've got, but you've definitely got a radio. If it all goes wrong, you can pawn that. Right, Elliot. Do I go to break now? Yeah?
Okay. You can do that, yeah.
We've got to squeeze another one in and then we'll come back and we'll talk about a dog that ate socks. I've got to do it. You're listening to News Talk 1010.
This is the Vinny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. Bum, 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 bum.
Shall I do it? Oh, okay, I'm only going to do it once and then just leave me alone, all right? There's a guy that keeps texting in and he keeps saying, can you yell 180? What am I, a dancing monkey? Like, it's so annoying. And the worst thing is, I think he said he was British, so I don't know why he needs to hear it. I think what he's referring to is in the UK, there's a darts... When you play darts, the maximum score you can get is 180. And when you get 180, they say it in a very upbeat way. So I presume that's what he wants me to do. So I'll do it once, and then can you stop asking me? Because it is getting a bit ridiculous. Okay. 180! There you go. Now shut your face. Dog socks! Now, when I think of dogs and socks, I think of dogs with socks on their feet, which is comedy gold. Particularly when it's a sort of butch... manly dog, and it's full, and you put little pink shoes on it. I mean, we could all agree it looks ridiculous. And I don't know if dogs suffer from vanity, but I think that's enough to make them do that. But that's not the sort of dog socks I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. US veterinary... Let's try that again. US... The podcast is much better than the live show. We cut all this out. US veterinary surgeons operating on a sick dog got a shock when they discovered the cause of their patient's malaise. The dog had eaten 43 and a half socks. All the issues covered on News Talk 1010. The 64 kilogram Great Dane had to be, had an affinity for chewing socks, but no one knew he was swallowing them, a spokeswoman from the animal hospital said. Now, that dog has been around my house and your house and everyone's house because it doesn't half explain the age-old problem. The vet who operated on the dog in February said it was the most socks they'd ever pulled out of an animal. That's a great statement. Well, we had a shark in here once. He had 36 socks. An animal? How many animals? A dog. Surely a dog. You don't get multiple animals eating socks, do you? Have you had an animal that's eaten a sock that isn't a dog? Then text the show on 71010. Niche text. Niche. The dog, which recovered, has now won a prize for strange eating habits. The x-rays, this is what the surgeon said at the Dove Lewis Emergency Animal Hospital in Portland, Oregon. The x-rays revealed a large amount of foreign material in the dog's stomach, at which point the dog was taken into surgery to have the material removed. It was a great surprise to everyone in the operating room when the dog produced 43 and a half socks. I love the United States of America. It's good, isn't it? It would be nicer if it's a bit further away. Do you know what I mean? Just pop it off a little bit further. Sometimes they pop over with guns and stuff and you think, go on, pop yourself back. No, I like it. Do you know, actually, I must tell you, I'm there next weekend. I'm going to South Carolina, home of, well, I think it's a country music show. It's not really just strictly country because Jack White's there. I don't really like country music, so I'm going for Jack White. Or I don't know if he's in the White Stripes or whatever that weekend. No, it's just him. Just Jack White. Okay? You're not even going. Producer's like, no, it's not, man. Anyway, Jack White's there. It's a Willie Nelson organises it. It's called Farm Aid. So next week's show is going to write itself, for sure. Because I fly in, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon next Sunday. And I'll have been in the United States of America for 2 days in South Carolina, which is the home of racism. I say that in a sort of jovial way. Might be true, actually. You know what the Deep South's like. And I've never been to the southern states. So I'm quite looking forward to being south of the Mason-Dixon line. So we will see next week. I do genuinely love the United States of America, mostly for the comedy that it provides. And I have no doubt the next week's show will be interesting. So I'm going to, I think it's called Farm Aid, next week. And also we're making a bit of a road trip. I'm going down with a few friends and I'm going to stop in the middle of nowhere in a weird sort of backwater yokel town where people rock on rocking chairs and chew corn and have sex with their sister. I think that's what happens. So I'm going to be down there. Can I just make sure that if you're listening in the United States, this is comedy, okay? Not very good, but it is comedy. Which means that all of that was a bit of a laugh. Right? Sorted. We should put that, can we cut that out and put it at the beginning of every show and the end of every show? They do get very upset, the Americans, God bless them. But, you know, it's a great country because of things like this. San Francisco, this weekend, drunk woman on trampoline curses at neighbours. I can't make it up. Drunk woman on trampoline curses at neighbours in San Francisco. Deputies say a 55-year-old woman is facing charges after she got on a neighbour's trampoline and shouted obscenities and refused to stop even after officers told her to. Deputies were called to a house in San Francisco about disturbance. A woman said her neighbour, Debbie Robinson, was next door yesterday on her trampoline yelling obscenities over the fence. I don't know how that works. It must be like this. Hey, I'll see if I can do it. This is a recreation of yelling obscenities over a fence if you're on a trampoline. I hate you and I think everything you stand for is really worthless and every time I come to you, I really hate the way that you've got a noisy little dog in the backyard and I really want to punch you in the face. I think that's what it would sound like. Deputy said that Robinson was continuing to shout obscenities at neighbours all around. The deputy said Robinson told them that she had been drinking. Shocker. They said they encouraged her to get off the trampoline and to go home next door and go to bed. But she refused and continued to yell. It's funny because we've all been there. Eventually, two deputies dragged Robinson off the trampoline and arrested her for public drunkenly conduct. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Robinson was being held at the detention centre pending a bond hearing. Love it! Right. I have an email here. And I want to get to it. Oh, by the way, if ever you want to get in touch, you can do on Twitter or Facebook. I say email, that's the only way. I don't think I've got an email address. I don't know. Not one of the... I haven't got a show email. You know what I mean? You can go to News Talk 1010 website, click on my face, and then find ways to contact me that way, if you want. I mean, if you can be bothered. Either way, I got an email. I got a Facebook message here. And it refers to a show we did a little while ago. Do you remember when we were talking about proposals and romance? I think it was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. We were talking about that, and I was talking particularly about a guy that proposed to his girlfriend on Toronto Island, and he'd done a really good job. And it proved that romance wasn't dead. He'd actually put a crossword in the local newspaper. And the answer to that crossword was, Debbie, will you marry me? You know, when you put it all together. Fantastic. Really good. And I like that outside the box thinking. Of course, it made me feel physically sick and I couldn't possibly control myself but to say sarcastic comments about it. But actually, it was very nice and touching. But I got an email here and it said, regarding romance. I think that romance is overrated, says John, who, by the way, it has to be said, says at the top, I am married, so, and I presume he's still married. He says, I think that romance is overrated. For years now, I've been enjoying married life, but very rarely do anything of a romantic nature. On Valentine's Day, I might take her out for a drink, but that's about it. Well, what a catch. It goes on to say, at the end of the day, I think it's important to realise that romance is somewhat overblown, much like the couple on Toronto Island. A lot of these stories make us, I don't know, when he says us, I mean he means unromantic people, look bad. It reminds me of the song from Tim Mitchin. So, I hadn't heard this, but I love Tim Mitchin. Tim Mitchin is an Australian comedian, and he writes a song, and I want to play it to you towards the end of the show, because I thought it was a great email, and it is, of course, a fantastic song. So, Tim Mitchin talking about romance in a slightly different way.
So, I'm married, and the woman I'm married to, I met in high school, and this is a song I wrote for her. It's called If I Didn't Have You. Yeah, yeah, if I didn't have you. If I didn't have you to hold me tight, if I didn't have you to lie with that night, if I didn't have you to share my sighs and to kiss me and dry my tears when I cry, will I really think that I would have somebody else? If I didn't have you, someone else would do. Your love is one in a million. You couldn't buy it at any price. But of the 9,999,000 other possible loves, statistically some of them would be equally nice. Or maybe not as nice, but say smarter than you, or dumber but better at sport, or tracing, I'm just saying I probably
have somebody else.
Yeah.
If I didn't have you,
if I didn't have you, someone else would do.
Someone else would try.
And look, I'm not undervaluing what we've got when I say that given the role chaos inevitably plays and the inherently flawed notion of fate, it's abstruse to deduce I found my soulmate at the age of 17. It's just mathematically unlikely that at a university in Perth I happen to stumble on the one girl on earth specifically designed for me. And if I may conjecture a further objection, love has nothing to do with destined perfection. The connection is strengthened, the affection simply grows over time, like a flower or a mushroom or a guinea pig or a vine or a sponge or bigotry or a banana. And love is made more powerful by the ongoing drama of shared experience and the synergy of a kind of symbiotic empathy or something. So I trust it goes without saying that I would feel really very sad if tomorrow you were to fall off something high or catch something bad. But I'm just saying, I don't think you're special. I mean, I think you're special, but you fall within a bell curve. I mean, I'm just saying,
I think that I would
probably
have somebody else.
I mean, I reckon it's pretty likely that if, for example, my first girlfriend Jackie hadn't dumped me after I kissed Winston's ex-girlfriend Mia back at Steph's party in 1993, enough variables would probably have been altered by the absence of that event to have meant the advent of a tangential narrative in which we don't meet. which is to say there exists a theoretical, hypothetical, parallel life, where what is not as is, and I'm not your husband, and you are not my wife, and I am a stuntman living in LA, married to a small blonde Portuguese skier, who when she's not training, does abstract painting, practices yoga and brews her own beer, and really likes making home movies, and suffers neck down alopecia. But with all my heart and all my mind, I know one thing is true. I have just one life and just one love, and my love, that love is you. And if it wasn't for you, baby,
would I think that I would
probably
have somebody else?
Yeah.
If I didn't have you,
if I didn't have you, I didn't do someone else would surely,
someone else would surely
do.
Tim Mitchin. Fantastic Australian comedian, if you haven't heard of him. He's all over YouTube. Fantastic stuff. I really like him a lot. Living in London now, making musicals. He's a musical genius, a prodigy, no doubt. So, probably wrap us up, I think, won't it? Didn't get time to talk about the Mexican that absolutely accidentally shot himself doing a selfie. Oh, I think I just sort of did in a weird way. There you go. Mexican shot himself doing a selfie. Laced that with comedy dynamite, didn't I? I'll be back next week for two shows in a row because I'm going to cover Pei Chen. I'll have lots to talk about because I'm away at, in South Carolina for the first time next weekend. I'll fly back in for those two shows. So hopefully everything's on time. And what else do you need to know? You can look me up if you like, vinnywhite.co.uk for podcast stuff like that. Ed Keenan's next. You're listening to News Talk 1010. The almighty, the fantastic, the utterly, stupendously perfect. Pushing it. News Talk 1010. See ya.